All-Star game. Marc-Andre Fleury getting a rest here tonight. It's tough, and here we go. Somebody went after somebody at center ice. Talbot's down, and Mark went after him. And this is in response
to the hit on Blake Como.
Yes, and he went right after him. I don't know if he hit him or not, but when I looked down, Talbot was in a ball protecting himself as Matt Martin. Now we got another fight going on. Dupuis.
Yeah, Dupuis battling with Josh Bailey. A right hand from Dupuis. And this is what we were afraid would happen with the score being so lopsided. Yep, Hamonic, and Rupp's pounding on him, or wants to. Hamonic, no helmet. And he's able to get Rupp to the ice, and stuck forward for the linesman and the referees in this situation. McDonald and Goligoski standing off to the side.
Boy, it's been a long tussle with Bailey and Pascal Dupuis.
Derek Englund's on the ice right now.
And he's going to go over and maybe try to, he's getting escorted to the penalty box. Dupuis down.
He and Bailey are still wrestling on the ice.
What's going on? You're listening to the Long Island Sound Islescast, your source for everything Islanders and the only Isles podcast to vacation in Sweden longer than Josh Hosang. I'm one of your hosts, Damon Vetteri, and I have the privilege to announce the return of the best fifth line in hockey podcasting. That's right. The three of us are reunited. So first up, I want to give credit to a man who will chip and chase and always win the race, a guy who has maxed out his credit cards in the toy department, the sniper, Kenny Iavero. What's going on, Ken?
What's going on, Damon? That was quite the intro. I appreciate that, sir.
Well, I thank you. Thank you. And the moment you've all been waiting for. Back from his contract holdout, from his entry-level deal, the winner of the Calder Trophy for Best Rookie in Hockey Podcasting for the year 2020. The ultimate playmaker, whose X's and O's are all in caps. This kid is so smart, he sent the cerebral assassin back two grades in elementary school, and I'm a sucker for alliteration. So, back from the bunker, Big Bad Ben Cohen. What's up, Ben?
Dude, they're paying me like $8 million to do this. It's so cool.
it's good to be whole again, guys. It's good to be whole again.
Yeah, it's been too long. It's been too long.
So Ben, how have you been? How was the spam and Reese's? What was it like being in a bunker?
I saw the smoke signals. I tried to put some of my own. They were holding me out because of the all right, you know what? I've got nothing. I'm trying to get you something, and my brain just went empty.
Keep going. You got to stretch the podcast muscles again. It's been a while.
It has been a while. They were holding me there, and all I could think about was this podcast and how much y'all were probably not missing me, but maybe you were. And somehow I was still able to edit the podcast, so that worked out just fine. And so I was able to hear your cries for help, so I'm back to assist in any way that I can.
Well, we did run an internet line down to you so that you could at least see what's going on. I mean, we couldn't deny you watching the Isles games, so.
Yeah, exactly. I was able to do that. And that alone. There I was sitting go. There in solitary, just like Leo Komarov in the third period.
Can we just, before we've already, so that's, we're like 2 minutes in and we've already got Leo and Josh Hosang. I mean, I couldn't ignore the fact that he got cut from his team in Sweden. Like, how can I not bring that up at the top of the show?
He's a real problem, huh? Like, it's not just us. And I guarantee you, Lou knew that. Lou's like, yeah, this is going to look great for us. Like, we're really trying to give him a chance, but he must have known, I mean, they probably told the coaching staff like what the deal was, and they wasted no time.
Dude, what happened to him? He was like, remember when he actually played in the NHL and you were like, well, that dude knows how to play hockey. And now he's like not in a good enough shape to play hockey in Sweden.
I mean, they say not in a good enough shape, but like, I'm sure it's just that he wasn't catching on or there was some. I mean, this is now, I mean, if you really think about it, I mean, he couldn't survive the Garth regime, number one. That was like the easiest of all regimes to break into. Couldn't do that. Lou just sent him away right away. Couldn't cut it in Bridgeport. They sent him to a different AHL team to get him away from the team. The only thing that doesn't make sense about all of this is why would you qualify him? I mean, I know Lou's probably just like, well, it's my asset, and I don't want to lose my asset for nothing, so I'm just going to keep qualifying him. But, like, what is the point of all this? Anyway, that's more than enough time for him. I just had to say it, so he's not on any team right now doing anything. So there you go.
Yeah, it needs to be – like, something like that needs to happen because – a lot of casual fans like will see his like just his offense and be like, how is he not playing on the first line? It's like, dude, this guy is a straight up disaster away from the puck. Like, yeah.
CCM blade? This isn't good.
Xbox. This isn't PlayStation 4. Like, we're not like this is real hockey. Like, you have to be responsible on both ends of the rink. So, I mean,
Kenny, it's PS5 now. Come on, man.
In the interest of full disclosure,
I'm a PC gaming.
Master Race, look out, Master Race. Oh, God. Yep. Yeah, my mechanical keyboard going clickety-clack all night long.
In the interest of full disclosure, he plays on the third line on my NHL 19 Islanders career mode.
Yeah, I know he does.
He would.
Well,
yeah.
You know what? He plays next to Jean-Gabriel Pageau and some dude I picked up from, like, the Senators prospect pool.
Is that line a minus 40?
No, Josh Hosang is like fifth in the league in points.
Yeah, oh yeah. He's a perfect video game player.
Well, as long as I can defend, I don't care if Josh Hosang can.
Yeah, no.
That's why it's video.
That's a problem when you have better defensive sense than Josh Hosang. That's a problem.
I mean, Leo Komarov. No, I'm not going to talk about him either. Leo. He's on waivers.
Is that real or is that one of those moves?
No. He's on waivers because I think he's got a clear to go back to the taxi squad. Nobody's going to touch him. It's just more paper moving around. That's all that is. As much as I would love to see, you know, the Ottawa Senators grab Leo Komarov or something just because, it's not going to happen.
I think. You know, the way Wallstrom has played, I'm sure we'll get to it, but it seems like, you know, he's pretty responsible defensively, that maybe it's worth giving, you know, Bellows a shot on the Pageau line with them. I don't know. I mean,
yeah. No, I agree. I agree with that. So,
You go.
No, I was just going to say, let's cover the game from last night, the Penguins game, and then we can kind of get into all the other stuff that we haven't been able to talk about as a group since we haven't been together this season yet. I was pretty disappointed, obviously, as most fans were with that game last night. I thought it was Casey's best game of the season. You know, I was ready this episode. I was ready to go on a tear about how the fourth line is toast. You know, they've looked so bad all season. And then, of course, like, they win the Ranger game for us and they looked great last night. Cal Clutterbuck leaving skid marks from his forehead on the boards from getting plowed into. Just they were all over the ice. But, you know, Barzy had like a ridiculous highlight reel goal. I mean, he's just been on a tear. I think Eberle still looks good, but they just couldn't find a way to get it done. And another late goal to break their spirits and then to lose in the skills competition, which was just – I don't know why you have Josh Bailey out there taking the last shot when he's been ice cold the whole season. I mean, give it to Wallstrom. You know, DeSmith doesn't know what Wallstrom's going to do. I mean, it's a wild card. But anyway, yeah. So they drop a game that they should have won. I thought they, besides the second period, I thought they really had a strong game overall. And I think, you know, the first thing I'd like to lead into, if you guys are cool with this, because, I mean, I don't know if we really want to get into, like, the minutia of the game. But, you know, let's address the biggest issue so far of the season, the play of Josh Bailey and Brock Nelson.
Man, I think at least now, because Beauvillier wasn't playing well before he got injured either, but I think at least now we can sort of amend that and sort of say, like, at least part of that is they need Beauvillier back. But I'll say, like, it's not like I have enjoyed Michael Dalcol's performances, but I don't think he's been the worst member of that line since he's joined it. Not by a long shot. I'll say, like they'll still be responsible defensively, and they kill penalties, and I love that they kill penalties, actually. But you need more from your second line. It's like you're getting into these kinds of players where you're going to protect Brock this summer from the expansion draft. But I think Bailey's one of those guys where, like, Bailey, Eberle, those kinds of guys, like, one of those guys is going to be unprotected for Seattle. You're playing to stay on the island, and, you know, Bailey's not doing a very good job.
I don't know what's going on with him. Like, I really don't. He's just him and Brock, both of them. It's like it's not even like they're not producing. Like, they're just their body language. Like, they're doing weird stuff. Like, there was a play last night where Bailey basically could have shot the puck. He was, like, in the slot, and he did, like, a back pass to, like, no one. Like, and I
that
just
was
like,
one
and
of
I
those
said,
yelling
like,
at the TV moments.
Yeah, yeah. And I just said, that's kind of the way it's gone all season for Bailey. Like, when he's on, he looks like he's, like, three steps ahead of everyone with what he sees on the ice. And when he's off, he just is – it's like, I don't even know what's going on. I thought he had an okay game last night. I thought he had a better game than Nelson, honestly. And real quick before, because obviously if you're – new to the podcast or you're a new Islander fan, you might be wondering why at the beginning of the show we had highlights of a Penguins Islanders game from 10 years ago. That was obviously the 10 year anniversary of the Penguins Islanders brawl fest where the Islanders blew the doors off of them. And Josh Bailey was one of two Islanders that were on that team 10 years ago. It was him and Matt Martin were the only two. So just want to shout that amazing game out, because that was a game that will live on in the hearts and minds of Islanders fans for all time. But I thought Bailey looked better than Nelson. I don't know what's going on with Brock. I really don't. He made that awful pass yesterday where it led to it was a turnover, led to a Penguins chance. Like, he just looks disinterested is really not the right word, but I don't know what else to say. He just looks hesitant.
No, it's like that. It's a little bit like, you know, I guess the way I would put it is, like, if you're a new fan, as I once was, when you get excited about, you know, you're getting ready to watch your team play hockey, there are lines that you want to see come out, and there are lines that you don't want to see come out. Like if you're chasing a goal, right, and you watch Cal Clutterbuck, Casey Zizekas, and Matt Martin go over the boards, like, generally speaking, you're not pleased about that. And that's because they're not an offensive line, obviously. And in the playoffs last year, didn't matter if it was the first or the second line. If one of those lines was on the ice, you thought you could get a goal. You were excited because offense was coming onto the ice. And especially with the Islanders being so – it's so clearly like the second line and the first line give you offense and the third line and the fourth line give you defense. It's so they're polar opposites, right? Even though obviously it's important to teach the – first two lines to defend and the latter two lines to attack. Like, obviously that's an important sticking point, but, you know, generally speaking, you know what I'm trying to say. And you get excited when those two lines are on the ice. When you watched Beauvillier, Nelson, Bailey come over the boards, it was the same as Lee, Barzal, and Eberle last year. Like, they were just in the playoffs, they were just two first lines. And now you're looking at it and you've got a first line. And then you've got nothing. Like, that's kind of it. You've got the fourth line remembering how to play hockey. You've got Pajot and one winger that you're excited about, and the other winger that, when, you know, you don't know whether or not to be excited about the fourth line, because as happy you are as you are to see Wahlstrom on the ice, you don't want to see Komarov on the ice. And the second line is the same. Like you don't really want to see them on the ice right now either, right? I think that's a connection where you draw. It's like watching them spill over the boards. What do you expect from that shift? And right now, right, it's nothing from the second line.
So if we can,
they both
then
look like they both look like pre, like, trots.
Right.
You know, remember
they
how
do.
Bailey and Nelson used to look when they were getting coached by was Doug Waite. He was like, they're just disinterested. And then, like, these are the guys that, you know, we were all really down on until Trotz got here and then basically turned it around. And now the lack of, like, Bellows and Wahlstrom lighting it up, I feel, and Beauvillier being hurt, it's like Trotz can't even really do anything to them. He can't even be like, oh, you're both going to sit, or, like, he kind of just has to wait for them to wake up. And then they're older players. Like, they went to almost the Cup last year. Like, maybe they're tired. The good thing is, like, we're 500, and these guys are not scoring, and they're streaky guys. So you know that once Bailey puts one or two in, it's going to, you know, that's how the Islanders score goals. But Beauvillier, like, he's that guy. He's that dynamic Barzal guy. You know, he scores – he's a 20-30 goal scorer, and he was kind of coming into his own, had a great playoff. Obviously, he started the year. Maybe something was a little off. Now he's hurt. So the Islanders could really use Beauvillier to come back, and because he's like the driving force for those guys, make space for everybody.
When he's on. But I tell you, he was not doing that at the beginning of the season. Like, he looked –
Bailey
that
and Nelson
whole line
when
looked terrible.
Yeah, but like, everyone has to do their part for Beauvillier to, like, do what he does.
I think I want to see – I would like to see – I mean, you may think I'm crazy here, okay? But I would like to see Beauvillier come back and play with Pageau and one of the kids, either Wahlstrom or Bellows, and make that your second line. Because you know what? Brock Nelson does not deserve the ice time that he's been getting, and I think it's time for Pageau to get more of that ice time, and I'd like to see him as our second line center. It's interchangeable right now. It really doesn't matter. It's semantics. But I'd like to see Bo with Wahlstrom, because right now, whoever Pageau is playing with, he's at such a disadvantage because he's either had Ross Johnston on his wing or Leo Komarov on his wing. And, like, you know, him and Wahlstrom, I thought, have looked good, the two of them. But, like, let's be real here. I mean, as much as it might sound like hyperbole, like, there's really not a thing that Leo Komarov does well. He's a decent skater, and he gets in the face of people, but he can't cycle the puck. He does not win board battles. He does not make good passes in, you know, he can't shoot. He can't pass. I mean, It sounds ridiculous, but, like, have you ever seen him go into a – like, that you can remember, have you ever seen him go into the offensive zone and there's a 50-50 puck and, like, he comes away with it? Like, you see him, like, clog up things, get in the way of people, but, like, he never actually gets in there and does what he needs to do and then, you know, God forbid, win the puck and then make a pass to Wahlstrom for a shot. Like, the guy never has the puck on his stick, ever. So anybody who plays on that line with him is playing basically a man down. And he's a clog. That's all he is. He can't do anything else. And so, yeah, Trotz needs to either commit and say, I'm going to put Pageau on the second line and move Nelson down and give Pageau some skill to play with, because whatever's going on with Brock right now and Bailey right now, like, Trotz can't find, and he doesn't have the pieces to make it work. There's just, you can only move things around so much. So, you know, I would like to see Bellows and Wahlstrom in the lineup, but I don't think I want them on the same line. I want to see a little bit of a mixture. I want to see a little bit of speed. I want to see a little bit of skill with Pageau. Eberle has stepped up, and now for all of his efforts, he's now moved to the second line, and you're going to start to see his production dip now because he's the only one who's making anything happen. I mean, he was like two gears up on Brock yesterday when they were coming into the zone multiple times. And I'm like, what is going on with him? Is Brock hurt? Is he, like, something's not right there. So I think you need to see a lot of shuffling right now with the makeup of the team, because you can't afford to have basically three forwards out. You got Bailey and Nelson that are not contributing at all. And then you have Beauvillier who's hurt. And that right there, I mean, when you've got the fourth line that's struggling, and then you've got a mismatched third line of a bunch of random, like, this is why you're not scoring goals. It's not really hard to see that.
I think I completely agree with you, by the way, on the Beauvillier jumping back with Pageau. I think that's part of the reason that, like, you play to the advantages on this team, and the center depth that they have is one of the best in the league. When we've talked about how
because Ezekias could be a third line center, and maybe that's not true anymore, or maybe it is, but we thought it was last year, in the last couple years. And Pajot can play second line center. I don't know why he couldn't. I like the idea of splitting up Bailey and Nelson, and splitting up Bellows and Wahlstrom if they're in the same lineup, and giving Pajot the opportunity, right? Because I think if there's one person who hasn't had the production, but it's not because of his play, it's because of his position, it's Pajot, right? I mean, the production he's given you, it has been despite, not because. And so give him the opportunity to show you what he did in Ottawa. I mean, remember, like, when he led their team in goals by a lot, was their first line center, was their top penalty killer, and their team lost every game by six, and he still had one of the best plus minuses in the league. I know you traded for him to be a third line center, but you also signed Broussard to be a third line center, and he ended up playing on the wing, so things can change. I think giving Pajot that opportunity with maybe Beauvillier and Bailey, or Beauvillier and Wahlstrom, or Bellows and Bailey, or who cares, right? Like, change something. I think there's part of me that thinks, you know what, the last two games I think we played well, even though 2-0 against the Rangers from fourth line goals is not ideal. I mean, the two goals from fourth line part, not the win. Of course, the win is ideal. But I think that game and the Penguins game that should have been a win, like, I get the idea that, like, all right, that's encouraging. Let's continue to do that. So I'd be okay maybe with letting it run out for a little bit. But at some point, these games that are not being won are too winnable in a season that's too short, in an opportunity that doesn't come around too often, to be wasted, you know? And I think you have to act on the things that aren't working while other things are working, so you don't fall behind.
Right. Especially when the season could get cut short and it could be winning percentage that ends up determining who makes the top four, because they're already talking about now postponing the season again. Like, Philly can't play, New Jersey can't play. Half the games every night are postponed. So, like, we knew this was going to be a thing that was going to happen, but it's, I think, going to be much more serious. Like, there's a good chance that, like, the season is stopped by the time we go to record next.
There's no way. I don't think that's going to happen. There's too much invested in this already.
They're losing money by doing this. Like, Bettman's already said it. He's like, we're losing money by even playing. So what is the point? And now if you're, like, losing your TV, you're losing 50% of what little TV revenue you were making by half the games being postponed. Like, how are you going to, like, at some point, like, when was the last time New Jersey played a hockey game? Yeah, it's been, like, 2 weeks. Like, when are they going to make up? Yeah, like, when are they going to make up the time here?
Yeah, it's tough because the schedule is so tight. There's no room to just be, like, moving, like, 3 or 4 games around. It's, like, gets really complicated for sure, but I'm trying to, like, keep faith that we're going to keep playing because, I don't know. I mean, I just don't see it being justified to stop the whole season, but I don't know.
Well, that's because your team's playing right now, but there's a lot of people that aren't playing, and that's where it gets, you know. I mean, if there's two reasons why you should cancel or you should postpone the season. The first is obviously what's going on with COVID. The second is, did you see what Vegas was wearing last night on their heads?
Yeah, it's sick. I love it.
Those are the worst things I've ever seen.
No, like, you're a hater.
The gold doesn't even match. Okay, no, so if you don't know, they wore shiny gold helmets last night with their regular uniform kit. So the gold on the helmets was like 3 shades lighter than the gold on their uniforms. It was the ugliest, stupidest thing. And I tell you, I got to give the Anaheim Ducks Twitter feed credit, because they said your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could, they didn't stop and think if they should. Full on Jurassic Park reference on that one. That was bad. I would postpone the season just for that. I'd be like, we've gone too far now. We've gotten reverse retro gold shiny helmets with the ads on them. I can't deal with this. This is not my NHL. This is something weird and twisted and warped and ugly. And it makes
two things.
Cry inside.
Yeah, the jerseys are terrible. I give you that. Like, first of all,
how do the Vegas Golden Knights have a reverse retro jersey? That doesn't make sense. Second of all, I agree with both of you. First of all, they're sick helmets. Second of all, part of the reason why they're sick is that they aren't being worn by my team. I would despise them if they were worn by the Islanders.
I want to vomit. But when I saw them.
The fact that somebody else is wearing that helmet is sick. I love it.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
Bringing money to the league. It's better than the ads.
If Leo Dude,
wait for the first person in a Leo... house league grabs it, like someone's gonna buy one of those gold helmets and they're gonna go down to like the rink with their buddies and just get torched. Like they're just
if
gonna
someone
I mean,
bought
you can't
them
show
Vegas.
Up with that. You
if
can't
someone
show up
buys
with
that.
That
in Vegas, I can see it from here.
If Leo Komarov
that's
was
like
a
having
helmet,
a tinted visor in a house league, like Ovechkin.
Yeah. Well, that. You know, actually the tinted visor's for more concussion protocol than anything else, but I digress.
Really?
Yeah, it is. Okay, yeah, it helps with the lights. I did a little bit of research on that. So anyway, yeah. What do we think of I want to talk about two different players here. Number one, what do we think about Wahlstrom so far?
Go for it, Ken.
Ben, you want to go first? Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think like defensively, he's all over the rink, like in a good way. He back checks. He's physical. He's not afraid to like hold on to the puck, make a play. I think he's done enough to show that he should be in the lineup every night, and he's not a liability out there. So, like you said, like the struggles we're having on the third line, it's been 12 games. It's probably time for a change. You could potentially leave Pageau on the third line and just give him Bellows, give him another weapon because he's been playing with an anchor. So, I think Wahlstrom has looked good. How can you expect him to score goals playing on that line with the limited minutes? Like they're not getting good looks. It's being forced to the first and second line. So I think he's done enough.
I agree with you. And I have a theory about why Bellows and Wahlstrom aren't playing together. They're both still 24, correct?
24? No, Wahlstrom's
they're
like,
young, yeah.
No, Wahlstrom's
like,
20.
No, I know Wahlstrom's like younger. But is Bellows still 24?
I'll look it up right now.
Bellows is younger than Barzal. I think Bellows is 22 or 23.
Wahlstrom's 20.
Fantastic. Because
20.
Here's my theory, is that they're not playing together because if one of them flops or gets injured or something, they can still prolong their ELC another year if they only play 10 games.
They're going to play over 10 games, man.
I know. I agree with you. But they're prolonging their decision in case they decide one of them just isn't good enough. I think both of them have proven that they are, but there's the Lou if you have time take it thing, and they want to wait as long as possible before those guys play their 10th game.
I think you're over armchair quarterbacking it a bit, where I really just think that if they felt that both of those guys could give them a better chance to win, they'd both be in the lineup. And I don't think that they're sold on that yet. Like if I look, obviously the team is still like 500. They're in the mix. Like it's way too early, but I, for one game, I would do something crazy and I would do my top two lines. I would have Barzy with Lee and Wahlstrom, and then I would put Pageau with like Eberle and Beauvillier if Bovey's healthy, or like Bellows, right? And I would honestly move Bailey, Brock, and whatever's left over to that third line and make that the fourth line and give them the least amount of minutes for like two games and prove a point. Be like, nothing is just given to you, right? You're not entitled to this time. Like, we need you guys to step up. You're the reason why we're not, you know, 6-4 or 6-3. Like, we need more out of you. And I would really front load those top two lines with the guys who deserve it. And I would love to see, Wahlstrom on the top line. Do it for like two periods. Try something. The kid can shoot. No one can get him the puck. Pageau's playing back because he's trying to fill that gap and cover for him. And whatever other guy they have on their line just isn't cutting it, whether it's Ross Johnston or Leo Komarov. So I would like to see that for at least one game.
You could even just leave it Pageau, Wahlstrom, Dahlcol.
Yeah, honestly, Michael Dahlcol has not looked bad.
He's looked good. Now, Nick Leddy, though. I mean, it's...
That's a fair point. Nick Leddy and Scott Mayfield are the defensemen on the ice when literally anything bad happens.
It's so bad. Those two guys can't get a shot through if you paid them. Well, I shouldn't say that because Mayfield makes no money. But the master of hitting, of shooting the puck into the opponent's shins every time.
All right, but you got to remember, Mayfield gets paid $10 an hour. Like, he gets paid $10 an hour, and he does get the pucks to the net most of the time. He's actually known for that. He hasn't been doing – lately, he's been better. But, dude, Nick Leddy, listen, if he touches the puck – every single time I want him to just skate as fast as he possibly can and carry the puck into the zone. He doesn't do that. He tries to make a pass, and it's never in the right spot.
He doesn't know how to pass it around. It's ridiculous.
He's such, he's such a buzzkill out there, like kills the momentum everywhere. And he gets like a lot of time. Like they use him a lot because his skating ability is so good, but he's right back to being like a real disaster out there. And,
I don't get why he's still on the penalty kill. Like, he gets he gets a lot of penalty kill minutes, too, and that doesn't make sense to me.
Our defense definitely got way worse, and it's not because Dobson sucks. It's just because, like, Dobson just can't eat up the quality of minutes that you left on the table with losing Taves and Boychuk.
And I'll be honest, I think Andy Green's... I think he's been worse than he was last year.
Yes, he has.
Like, yeah. I get the thing where, like, I love the mentorship for Dobson, and you can clearly see that he's growing as a part, like, he's growing because of Andy Green, and probably there's definitely Boychuk behind the scenes somewhere, you know, doing things that only Johnny Rocket can do. But I would really love to see, and he'll never do it because this pair would not be defensively responsible enough, but I would love to see him just say, screw it, I'm going to put Leddy with Dobson, and I'm going to put Green with Mayfield, and I'm going to see what happens.
No, you can't. You
I feel
can't
bad for Trotz. I feel like you can't,
but you have to.
This is the first year, though, that you're really seeing, like, so I think it's two things that are happening. I think you're seeing a roster that's still not 100% where it should be, and that's a little bit on Lou. And then you're seeing the magic of like Trotz coming in and like rah rah, and these guys actually like having a real coach for the first time in their career. I think you're starting to kind of see them revert back now. Like it's almost like that shot in the arm has worn off, and like you're starting to see Brock back to like the way he was, and Bailey the way he was, and I wonder if like part of it is they've never been in a position where they've actually had expectations. Like they went so deep last year, and like now it's kind of like they maybe think that they're going to get there regardless because they just did it the year before. But I think you're kind of seeing a combination of that. And at what point does Lou, like, because Trotz can only do so much with what he has. At what point does Lou say, okay, look, I'm going to make a move here? I mean, because right now, if you really look at like the Islanders as a whole, right, the whole system, we've got the potential to have a very, very good D-core in a couple of years with like an aging veteran presence in Pelech and Pulock, with Noah Dobson, with Robin Salow, who the Isles just signed today to an entry-level deal, who has developed in a huge way very quickly, and Sam Bolduc, who had a bomb in it. He had his first two pro games. He had a bomb from the point, scored his first AHL goal. And then Bode Wild. Like, you have a killer decor that's coming up, but they're really, really young. And then you have an aging forward corp that's like, they're all starting to peak 30, 31. Like, it's getting kind of scary where we've got this wide gulf in between of a really promising young D-core that's coming up and a forward group that is underachieving and getting old very, very fast. Like, I don't know what they do now.
I think the solution lies with the expansion draft. And I think you're going to see where the team is going, because I think that there are guys on contracts that are manageable, but like also, do you really want them in your organization? Where it's like, yeah, I love Lee and he's the captain, but it's $7 million and he's starting to get old. If he got taken, the only reason you'd be pissed off is because he's the captain. I love Lee and I don't want him to leave. And that's the bad example. The better example.
I'm glad you corrected yourself, because that was a bad example.
Bailey at 5.5, Everly, I think, at 6. Like, I think you're okay if those guys get taken.
Yeah, not Lee. We cannot lose. Dude, Lee does like...
Lee, it's the captaincy.
It's not even just that. He's just a really good hockey player, man. He just looks like... He doesn't look smooth. He's like the opposite of Barzal, but he he gets everywhere he has to go, and he's way stronger than 95% of the league. And like when shit gets rough, he doesn't have any problem like manhandling some people, and we don't have anyone to do that. So yeah. Like, dude, Lee is he's worth every penny when you're looking at Bailey. I'd rather force a team to maybe take Bailey or Letty, maybe make a deal with the Seattle team, because they're going to need to get to the cap floor. And it's not like Letty and Bailey are completely terrible. They're definitely serviceable. I mean, if Seattle can get a guy like Nick Letty on defense.
I don't know if you need to pay. I don't know if you need to pay them to take Bailey. I think Bailey's a great hockey player. I just don't think he's playing well right now.
Yeah,
the reason that I would want to get rid of Bailey is not, first of all, not because I want to get rid of him, and second of all, not because he's not playing well. It would be because I think the organization's moving in a different direction.
Right, right. I want Bailey to retire an Islander, but I also understand that, like, this is business, right? And here's the thing. The number one forward for the Isles this season so far has been Matt Barzal, right? No argument. I think there's a very clear number two. Who do you think the second best forward on this team has been? Don't let me down, boys. Don't let me down. Who is it?
Jordan Eberle.
Thank you. You can't let Eberle walk away. He's still his skill set is still too high. He's the second most skilled forward we have. He really is. And when he's on, you're seeing it. He's making stuff happen out of nothing. Out of nothing. Who he's playing with. Stuff, you know, so you can't really let Eberle go. I think you've got to go, you know, a Bailey or a Letty. You know, Letty might be flashy enough to, like, let them take him because he's a speedy defenseman. But now you're really putting a lot of pressure on your defense, and you don't really have much left in the tank here. Like, you gotta hope that Dobson keeps developing, and then you're going to, what, throw another rookie out there with Bolduc next year or Salo next year? That worries me. That worries me.
Yeah. Well, dude, I mean, regardless if you keep Letty or not, let's say you keep Letty, I think Green is definitely gone next year. So,
yeah,
it's gonna be that. It's going to be exactly what you just said. It's going to be another probably young dude. But at that point, maybe you can split up Pelech and Pulak, and then it's like, you know, at that point, maybe they're ready to take a guy on under their wing, and those guys are good enough to hide some problems, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, when we
have a chance to have like Pelech and Pulak like at like 28 and 29, like just coming into like, you know, peak prime as a defenseman, and then like all these kids that have such upside on the D with them, like that makes me so excited. But then I say, like, who are they going to move the puck to? Like, you're going to have like Matt Barzal and like a bunch of like 40-year-olds. Like, it's kind of scary, you know? Like, we have no forward depth at all. Like, you got to hope that Wilson develops. And like Bellows like has looked. I don't think Bellows has looked bad. Like, this is the type of season, with all the stupid crap going on and not worried about like gate receipts for playoffs and stuff, like this is the season that you should let these kids play the whole season. Like, there's no reason why Bellows,
I think they will though now.
Not be, what, now? I mean, we're 20% through already.
Well, hey, but all right. I know Komarov is a complete dumpster fire. Okay, but the guy is a respected guy. You're gonna, as a team, as a coach, you're probably going to give him 10, 12 games, figure it out. And now, obviously, they made that move. In the meantime, Wahlstrom has shown that he can play. Maybe Bellows gets back into the lineup, and or maybe Johnson gets back. I don't know. I'm not saying it's playing Johnson's the right move, but, you know, I think Trotz tried to be as respectful as possible, and now it's like, well, dude, the results are what they are. Like, he's a disaster out there. There's nothing positive really at this point. He, like you said, he's not like out there drawing penalties. Like, people know he's a joke at this point. So the whole like him getting in the face of people doesn't really work anymore. It works when you're like, when you're Clutterbuck and Martin and Cizikas, because you're actually hitting people and frustrating them. Like, I don't know. I think the Islanders have the pieces. When you look at their like lineup, every guy can score 15, 20 goals from like 1 through 10. It really is. I mean, Cizikas can get 15 goals.
Well, if he plays like he played last night, I'm telling you, that was the best game of the season. I mean, the goal was one of the prettiest goals I think he scored in his career. That thing was like, that was a highlight reel goal. That was awesome.
Yeah.
But he's been funny. He's been not good. Like, he wasn't good in the playoffs, and he wasn't good at the start of the season, so he's had two good games.
Towards the end of the year, I'm sure he was banged up. I mean, God knows. Those guys go hard, and they go hard every game, regular season or playoffs or not. So I think, like, those guys are banged up, and now they're just finding their rhythm. Like, it was like a joke. Oh, Martin got signed this many years. Oh, the fourth line's, like, a complete disaster, but you could see the reason why the Islanders re-signed Martin and kept these guys together. It's like very obvious that they can take over a game. Like, most other teams don't have an answer for that. You know, I know Boston has a really good fourth line, but there's a lot of teams in this league that have it's just their garbage on the fourth line. And our fourth line is quality. So
yeah, our garbage is on the third line.
yeah. And that's like, still, it's like Brock Nelson and Bailey are elite guys that it hurts to even think about the Islanders not having them. It's just, they're not playing good right now, whether someone's hurt or it's just Beauvillier not being there. I think that means a lot, Beauvillier.
But what changes here? Like, something's got to change. Like, it's not.
I agree with your line. Sudden... I love everything you said. Like, I would love doing those lines. That would be sick. Like, I would love to see Trotz do that. But I feel like if Trotz did that, it would be like a panic move. Yeah, he's not that guy, you know. Which I just, at this point, it's like, it's hard for me to complain because this guy knows what he's doing.
He does. He does. I feel for him, though, because, I mean, when you're in the second period, right, and you've got, you know, 15 shots on goal or whatever for the game. Right, and you're down one, and he looks down his line, and he's got Michael Dalcol, he's got the fourth line, he's got Leo Komarov on the bench, and then there's JG Pageot, he's got Brock that's not engaged, Bailey that's not engaged, you know, like, what, like you see, he's like throwing Pageot on the first line, then he's like doubling him on, like, he's, you know, mixing up everything he possibly can, because nothing's working. Like,
you know what's crazy, though? The Islanders are still in fourth. Like, we've played shit hockey. Okay, Sorokin, I don't even want to get started on that. Like we got some issues, and thank God Varlamov has been as hot as he is, but, like, we're still in fourth. And Kenny, we haven't played good hockey at all, which is, like, it's refreshing, you know? Like, it's nice.
No, it is good. It is good. That was the second player I wanted to talk about. So if you remember, I started this whole thing with Wahlstrom. The second one I wanted to talk about was Sorokin. Oh, there's not enough to really talk about with him. I throw the first game out, and honestly, I didn't think he looked bad in the second game. I thought he made some incredible saves. Like, I think he's going to be just fine. I just think, you know, the team's got to score some goals in front of him. I thought you know, he's played, what, three games so far?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't think he's looked bad. Like, he's got to ease into it. He really should have been in Bridgeport to start, but with Bridgeport only playing, you know, here and there, like, you really can't. It's just, it's unfortunate, but, like, this is the way the season is. You know, it would have been great for him to, you know, you throw Sorokin down for 10, 15 games in the AHL, and then you bring him up for the last 60, and you know, and he's ready to go. Like, you don't have that this year. So I think Ilya's going to be just fine. I don't want to put anything. The only loss I would put on him is the first game, and I put that on Cal Clutterbuck. I don't put that on Ilya Sorokin, you know, giving Varley a throat job there. I mean, Jesus, with the puck, terrible. So
yeah, that was unfortunate. I mean, I agree with you. He definitely looked like some of those saves he made. That one, it was like a shot off the backboards, and he got back to the far side post. Like, it was like,
that was one of those KHL highlight reels that to see.
Yeah, like, for you to even be able to get there, that's something special. And like you said, it's really unfortunate that his buddy over in Manhattan had, you know, a whole season in the AHL. You know, a proper preseason games, and then gets to play, and then looks awesome. I really think this year, I don't really care what Sorokin looks like. I think, obviously, working multiple years with this goalie coach has done something for Varlamov. Think of what it's going to do for Sorokin, who's still, like, in development stages, and the guy's elite. I think we're going to be fine. It's just, it's a little bit worrying to me, because I love Varlamov, and he looks way better. Like, way more quiet in his movement, not over, and whatever he did on the offseason, it's definitely working out. But what happens if he falters a little bit? We could be right out of the playoff race really quick, because who knows if Sorokin's ready to do that. I know Schneider's look good. I wouldn't be opposed to, like, if Sorokin gets, maybe loses his next game, it doesn't look good, put him in Bridgeport and bring Schneider up. Schneider can win some games, dude. Yeah, I think he's more than capable. So I think we'll be okay. But I'm just worried that Varlamov gets, you know, comes back to earth.
Yeah, I think when you were talking about how the playing bad hockey and still being in and around those spots, it shouldn't be encouraging, but it is, right? Where this, you have to assume it's going to get better, because if it doesn't get better, like, what are we doing here? And I think there are more things that, you know, are worse than they should be. If we're talking about reverting to the mean, there are more things that should get better than should get worse. Like, I think Bailey and Nelson have just been so bad. Where you think, all right, like, Varlamov being great is, I mean, maybe he's been a little bit too great, but, like, that's realistic. I mean, our goaltenders have been great for the past couple of years. Matt Barzal has maybe scored and assisted more than he might, but also maybe he's just a superstar. I feel like we kind of expected him to become that at some point. I think if you're a betting, if I'm a betting man, I think I expect more things to become better for this team than to become worse, and to be where we are, having not played well, and to expect to play better. Because if we don't play better, then like I said, what are we doing here? We're gonna. If that's the case, then you're looking at a rebuild because at that point you're like you said, you're dealing with that old forward core. But if you do improve, and I think we will, there's something to be had here, because I think it shows how far the Islanders have come, that you're seeing this as what looks to be their floor. Like, it seems like we found their floor the last couple of weeks. We're like, I came into this with the joke, the Long Island Sound Islescast took a week off last week, but, you know, then again, so did the Islanders. If their floor is just outside of a playoff spot, or just inside a playoff spot, like, hallelujah.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you, but then, I don't know.
I agree.
Aren't we beyond that? It's not a great place to talk about the floor. Yeah, I mean, aren't we beyond that at this point?
I agree with you. But I don't think it's just, oh, let's find the silver lining. I don't think it's just that. I think there is a sign to be had. Like, all right, this team is figuring it out, but if we're bad in doing this, just think about when we're good. And I agree with you. I don't like talking about that, because I don't like being bad. But if bad's outside of the playoffs, then if we get good, watch out. And
well, didn't we see that last? Didn't we see that last year? We were awful, and then
then
we were good.
And then we were, you know, a goal and a game away from the Stanley Cup Finals.
Listen, not every team can be in the mighty North with the amazing talent that is up there. You know, I mean. Jeez, look at the
Have you seen the Maple Leafs? The Maple Leafs have
like 23 points. Like, they're playing the worst teams in the league altogether.
What makes it nice, though, is that the NHL in America, like, they get the Canadian division just gets no coverage in America, and it's hilarious. They don't deserve it. Meanwhile, Canadian media
is so, they're like, wow, it's unbelievable that the North Division has overshadowed all of the NHL this year. I was like, what?
Like, what country are you living in?
Like, it's two good teams and the rest are awful. Like,
it's almost like they're living in a different country.
I mean, all right. So look, before we wrap up here, there are some really interesting things going on right now in the NHL. So I want a couple of things. So obviously, I'm not even going to say anything about the Maple Leafs, because they're playing terrible teams. They're 11-2-1. Congratulations, you're playing Pee Wee teams. Ottawa's 2-12. Okay, Boston's 9-1. Right, Tampa's 9-2. Florida is 8-1.
Wait, what? Like,
yeah. Florida's 8-1-2.
Do you see there was a nationally televised Lightning Red Wings game, and I watched the first 5 minutes, and it was 3-0 Lightning, and then I turned it off.
This is like the worst season I think I've ever seen.
I played roller hockey against a guy in the Detroit Red Wings, and he wasn't very good. So shout outs to the Detroit Red Wings.
Who was he?
Adam Ernie.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, I played against him in a roller hockey tournament, and we both got into a little scuffle, and it was like a usual pileup. It was pretty funny, actually. He's like, Google me. He literally said, Google me. I'm like, dude, you're going to be the first cut. You're going to be Bridgeport next week or AHL. And I was like talking shit to him. Obviously, the guy made, he actually makes money. He made a couple million dollars and played like three seasons. So obviously he's winning. But
Google me.
He's like, Google me. That's what he said. Yeah.
That's a great trash talk.
He's like, you wish you were me. I'm like, dude. Gonna be working at Kohl's in like 3 years.
I really believe me when I say I really don't wish I was you.
Can I tell you guys something? When you guys, because you guys were having your, actually, I'll let finish your recap of the division, and then I'll end with this.
No, thing. That was really it. I really don't care about anything else. It's all very boring. There's a lot of teams in playing in divisions that they shouldn't, and there's a lot of weird stuff going on, and it's still early, and I don't know how to like handle this season emotionally. Like, it's very weird. Like, I look at other games around the league and I'm like, these don't impact me at all. I want to watch it, but like, who cares? I can't. Like, there's no fans. There's no energy. It's just kind of like, I mean, I know it's the best we can do, but man, it's kind of a downer.
No,
like,
I agree.
Wow, great. Awesome.
This is warm up season. This is like just to keep everyone's like legs in motion and like things kind of going normal. It really means nothing this year. Like, I
guarantee you, this is the year that Toronto wins a playoff round because they're not going to play anybody good. But then they'll lose to Boston in the semifinals.
They should just go back to a bubble and just do like 1 through 16 and like do it like that, because that is such bullshit that they're going to play their terrible division. I mean, what are we doing?
I wholeheartedly agree.
What are we doing here, guys?
It's
like
bad.
This is so dumb. Boston, Philly, Washington, Pittsburgh, the Rangers. Obviously, Devils are trash and Buffalo is trash, but don't tell NHL.com that. Buffalo, they pick them to go to the playoffs every year, dude. This is their year. They got Taylor Hall, remember? Sick.
Listen,
You did say that.
Yeah, sick, dude. Sick. Sick team.
I said from the very beginning, I'll never be worried about Buffalo until they actually
that fat slob. Yeah, Dan Rosen. Sorry.
I think first of all, I think Boston has exceeded my expectations. I think losing Chara, I think, is more about the appearance of losing a great player than actually that. I think he's, you know, there's a reason he took a while to sign. But losing Krug and their aging core getting another year older, and they're still doing it. It's like Tom Brady left Boston, and and the Bruins were like, all right, we got to pick up the slack now. It's being in Boston sports territory is just, and not being a Boston sports fan is just like constant torture. So that's my 2 cents on the Bruins. Anyway, what I wanted to end this on was, I think we talk a lot about how plus minus, you know, you look at it, but like, it doesn't tell the full story. I think the Islanders plus minus this year says a lot, and you're going to be really interested because there are 11 players in the negatives, 7 players in the positives. The 7 players in the positive, we have Ryan Pulak at +5, Matt Barzal at +4, Pelican Lee +2, Bellows, Dal Cole, and Wahlstrom +1. Then Eberle, Green, and Pajot, and Martin, and also Zarnik at 0. Nick Leddy's a -7. Scott Mayfield is a -6. And Brock Nelson is a -5. Isn't that insane? Like, we've played, how many games have we played this season? Doesn't that tell you a lot? I think there's actually a lot to be gained from looking at the current Islanders plus minus statistics this season. I think it tells you exactly what you need to know.
Who do you think, if we did sit Leddy, who would they put in?
Sebastian Aho? Like,
I mean,
they're not,
they haven't even tried it. What, I mean, they're like,
there's no way.
It's like those other guys don't exist.
Anyone.
They're not benching like, anyone. This is our six, and that's it. We're just going to go until the wheels fall off. Like, is that what we're doing?
I think that's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too.
Leddy. I don't love it either, but
you know, I really was coming around on Leddy, but now I'm right back. Guy's a piece of shit. Sorry. It is what it is. It is what it is. I don't know, man. And then I'm looking at like our cap next season. I don't even want to get into this right now, but you know that like Cizikas is a UFA and he's 29 and he probably can get $5 million a year from some other team, probably right next door. That's a real problem. Like, how are we going to – we have to get out from under two of these $5 million up deals. We have to. Like, two of them have to come off next year. One of them's got to go to Seattle, and we got to do something with the other one. Because I don't think we can re-sign Pelech and Cizikas.
I don't know how much – what do you think Pelech's market is?
Pelech's market is just as high as Pulak's market.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's better.
We're this is the window. Like, there's dude, no – like, it's
– this is really rough.
Mm-hmm.
Like
– this got so bleak. When did
– I'm just sorry. I was on Cap Friendly, and I'm just like, I can't – I'm looking at it, and I'm just like, wow. It's not you're right. Wow. It's not bad when Bailey and Nelson are going. It's not bad. It's like, okay, well, it is what it is. Like, we have got everyone can score 20, and we need them to score 20. But, like, if they're not going and you look at the rest of it and going forward, just another year of those guys who aren't doing it right now for us, it's like makes you really depressed. That's just being real. Like, yeah. Another year
with right.
Bailey, it's like, I think I might have seen enough from, like, one of them at this point. And Bailey, it's like if Wahlstrom's given that opportunity with all the ice time, I think he's more dynamic. If he's not a disaster defensively, it's like, listen, you're going to have to lose something good to get out of this contract. Like, it's going to have – the Islanders are going to lose whatever is going to happen probably. Like, they'll lose Bailey and not have that 50 points. They're just going to be like, wow, someone's got to figure it out. But, like, we really haven't had a moment like that for the offense where – a guy goes and we actually give a rookie an opportunity like every other team in the league does. Like, we don't do that, but it's going to have to happen soon because this offseason, you got to get rid of two of these guys.
I just don't see how you do that when you have every team is in the same boat that the Isles are in where they thought that the cap was going to go one way and it's not.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to, could drop. Yeah. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt because, you know, you have certain calculations that you make, and then, you know, it just kind of it all gets thrown on its head when the league loses revenue like this. So I don't know what you do. You got to get creative, but you're going to have every team's going to be saying this about the expansion draft. We got to get creative. We got to lose this deal and that deal. Like, they're not going to Seattle's not going to take every single bad contract. Like, they're just not. They're
but I think the Islanders have good players on good decent deals, just not for the Islanders. It's not like Josh Bailey for $5 million or Nelson or is like, oh my god, that's crazy. It's not when you look at their production and what they've done on a team that doesn't really score a lot of like goals. Like they produce pretty consistently.
Mm-hmm. Well, the problem with that becomes
Lenny's hard to sell.
The fourth line being $1.5 million, $3.5 million, $3.5 million.
Like, Letty's 20. Yo, Letty is the best thing because he's 29 years old. And then when they do sign him, it'll only be for 1 year. And that guy could be a asset at the deadline, whether they're in or out. And he'll be gone the next year anyway. He's a UFA. So it's honestly like, I think this is Letty's last season. And if it's not, then I've been completely wrong in how bad this guy is. But this is the time that he cannot be here next year. Like, that's a problem. I'd rather gamble with. Or sign someone. I don't know. We don't have no cap space to sign someone, right? I'm just like talking at this point, but I'd rather give it to one of the kids, dude. Letty doesn't do anything special out there.
Which goes back to my point as to why Kiefer Bellows and Oliver Wahlstrom should be in the lineup every night and not Leo Komarov or any of these other clowns that they want to throw out there. Because I guarantee you, we will see Ross Johnson in the lineup before we see Bellows and Wahlstrom in the lineup at the same time. I guarantee you. That's how it's been.
Yeah, that's why I said it. I'm like, I don't want it to be that, but
it's not exciting.
Like, Who are we playing next?
The 9-2, the 9-1 Boston Bruins.
Do they need Johnson in the lineup for that? Do they really need that?
They never need Johnson in the lineup. What kind of question is that?
All right, relax. It's fun to push around the Rangers. I love when he's in the lineup against the Rangers.
Dude, you have like, Matt Martin. You know? What do you need him for? He can be Matt Martin's personal bodyguard. He can be Matt Martin's personal assistant. When Matt Martin needs a night off, he goes and takes his place. That is his job description. End of story.
No, honestly, that's the right way to do it. Yeah, that's the right way to do it. But honestly, now looking at this cap thing, Matt Martin's deal looks pretty friendly. It's only $1.5 million. So,
yeah,
you know, that's nothing. At least, and at least he wants to be here. So, all right. Well, anyway, that went sideways. Let's go Islanders.
You think we'll beat the Bruins again? I mean, we're their only regulation loss.
Maybe.
Yeah, you know what? Why not? What's the odds on that? I might have to go to my bookie.
Yeah.
Put some money on the Islanders.
Yeah. Send it to Lou. He's going to need it.
Yeah.
Oh, God. They should allow sports bets by fans.
Listen.
Allow sports bets by fans to count against the cap. They don't count against the cap if they donate them to the team.
That's actually pretty funny. I think I like that.
No, you know what?
I mean, why not?
I heard it's coming back.
The thing is that they're gonna
nice.
I'm just kidding.
There's gonna be this whole conspiracy theory that's not actually conspiracy theory, it's actually true, about the league rigging things so Ranger fans can win bets, so that Rangers fans can send James Dolan money, so the Rangers can pass the cap.
Yeah, like, we need that. I'm good. I am good with that.
The Rangers are definitely gonna win the draft lottery again, regardless if they go to the Stanley Cup final and win it. They'll still win it. That's just how it goes. It is what it is. Let's go Rangers.
All right, this is done. We're killing this.
We've got
to
call it.
This is too depressing for anyone. And
how did this get so grim? Oh my God.
This catfriendly.com. I'm uninstalled. I'm getting rid of this. I can't look at this anymore.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen. For
Ben reality, Ken, guys.
For Ben and Ken, I'm Damon. I'm going to end this before it gets too crazy. If you're listening in the car, please pull over. Don't swerve. Don't drive off of a bridge. We promise we'll be more positive next week. But this is what happens when you're used to your team looking good and now they're mediocre and every night is just a wonderful. Oh, God, I got to stop. Okay.
See you later, guys. I was being positive like 8 seconds ago.
I know. We could just end it. We could just cut all this out. And
why would you cut it out? You just gotta say.
No, I'm leaving. I'm leaving this part in. Bye, guys. Yes, have a good weekend.
All right.
Yeah.
Bye.